Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, what's up? This is Seth Green, and you are listening to Somewhere in Vegas with Mark, and I am so hot, I would desperately like a glass of water. Please, please, give me some water.
This is Cindy Preston, and I'm with Mark on Somewhere in Vegas.
Hi, this is Melissa Peterman from CMT's The Singing Bee and the television show Reba, and I have to tell you, I just have to get it off my chest, I love Somewhere in Vegas with Mark.
Hi there. This is Faith Roscoe from General Hospital. You're listening to Mark on Somewhere in Vegas. And you better watch out. We know how to find you if you're not listening.
Hi, this is Shannon Egan from Whippet. And I love Somewhere in Vegas with Mark.
Hey, this is Lee Allen Baker with Somewhere in Vegas. Talking with Mark with a Q.
This is Courtney Cronin. You're listening to Somewhere in Vegas with your host, Mark. And I would make sure to listen every week because he's a sure bet.
Hey, this is the Money Man, Eddie Money. I got two tickets to Paradise. And it's, you know what? It's Somewhere in Vegas. And what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas.
Hi, this is Crystal Kale, and I love Somewhere in Vegas with Mark.
Hi, this is Terry Nunn from Berlin, and you're listening to Mark Somewhere in Vegas.
Hi, this is Miracle Laurie from Joss Whedon's Dollhouse. There are three flowers in a vase, and I'm listening to Somewhere in Vegas with Mark.
Hi, this is Erin Hill, and you are listening to Mark on Blog Talk Radio and Somewhere in Vegas. Mark is a great guy.
Hi, this is Sean Pulaski. I'm still trying to figure out Mark Pico's sexuality, but I know you're listening to Somewhere Live in Vegas.
Here you go, Mark. I'm sorry. I thought you were she. I'm sorry. Get out of the tent. Let's get out of here.
Hey, this is Lance and Anna from Free Radio. And Anna?
And you're listening to Somewhere in Vegas.
Yes.
My favorite.
You know, that's usually what happens with me. I go to Vegas and I get lost, and so I end up somewhere in Vegas.
Somewhere in Vegas.
But I just don't know where it is.
Not quite sure.
Yeah, word.
Get ready. It's going to be hot. It's in Vegas. Check out Mark. Be there or be square.
Welcome, everybody, to Somewhere in Vegas here on blogtalkradio.com. I'm Mark the Q. I'm your host. I'm very privileged to have a gal that I've known for quite a while now. We've hadn't had on her show for the past couple of years, and it's going to be really exciting to catch up with her and tell her talk about her first dramatic role. She also has her own web series out there now as well. It's just absolutely great to be able to have her back on the show, and I don't think I've talked to her since she got married. So Sean Pulaski is on with us right now. How are you doing, Sean?
Oh, Mark, I am recovering, but I'm good. It is so great to hear your voice, and thank you again for having me on the show.
I was excited because especially seeing the trailer for your new movie, which is a dramatic piece, actually, and absolutely looks like a great jumping off point for your acting career as well. How did you come across this role, and you know, tell us a little bit about how you ended up being a part of this movie.
Well, I actually was very fortunate. I have a friend who is a screenwriter and producer, and this was one of her first films she wrote. And actually, they were considering me for the more comedic role for the movie. And it's a movie about triathlons and just the push behind what, you know, how many, the types of people that all come together to do something kind of inspirational, like a triathlon. Me personally, I would never do a triathlon. I mean, I think you'd have to have my family in a firing squad before I would ever do something like a triathlon. So, but I was being considered actually for this somewhat comedic role in the film. And one of the producers just, you know, they looked at me and said, you know, we think that you would be good for this lead role, the lead dramatic role. And I said, well, you know, that's not something really in my wheelhouse. And they said, but we think it is. So I said, well, screw it. Let's try it. And that's exactly what I did. So it kind of, I got to, you know, really try my hand at drama. And I found out I can cry pretty fast at the drop of a dime.
Yeah, it was kind of unbelievable. The fact that I had made a movie this past summer, and the actresses that I got on my movie were able to be able to cry on cue. And one of them was her first major acting role. So she was able to, and I was absolutely impressed with her. She did, it was her first major acting role. She hasn't, you know, had maybe one or two lines in any other movie that or play or whatever she's been in. Absolutely hit it out of the park, but to be able to have somebody being able to cry on cue, I mean, that's something else. And it comes across really, really great, you know, across the screen. And it was a really emotional scene, the one that I'm thinking about. But yeah, I mean, it's interesting to kind of go and dive into that acting shops, as it were. I mean, this is, I think, your first major kind of movie role as well. I mean, how was it for you to get into this role and to be able to test your acting chops, as it were?
Well, you know what? I mean, I, you know, you have to do. I mean, I went to the School of Theater at USC, and you know, you study acting, and of course, the emphasis when you're in a theater school is on drama. And I never really took that stuff seriously. I mean, I always knew I liked to act, but I always did like comedic, or I liked to play the evil, or you know, maybe you know, the crazy person. But I never really had you know, taken a stab at kind of the straight role. And this character that I play in the film is a woman who's in charge of triathlons. And at the beginning of the film, she's diagnosed with a serious form of cancer. Not that none of them aren't serious, but and so she has to kind of go through this emotional journey. And there's still elements, you know, some funny elements and bits and pieces that you kind of see of my personality. But I kind of personalized that whole journey for me. You know, I would think, what would I go through doing something like that? And I don't even think I would be as strong as the character that I play. But she seemed to be this kind of strong, she had a strong persona to her. So I just, you know, did some backstory and what I thought, you know, her life was like up until that point. And then, you know, you have other great actors and actresses to work off of and work with. I got to work with Tim Reed, who if people know, was Venus Flytrap in WKRP Cincinnati, and a great comedic legend who also started at the world famous Comedy Store and has produced many movies, and the guy's a legend. So, you know, when you get to be in a scene with someone like that, sometimes that person brings out you know, the actor in you. Some people, you know, it doesn't work as well with, but when you sit in a scene with someone that is that good, then I think it ups the ante, and it makes you want to be better, and you learn from these people, especially when you're on a set. As you said, you know, you did this movie, and it's a whole big process, and I think it's just a lot of patience, and you know, you have to concentrate, and you have to be dedicated to who you're playing and what you're playing, and be in that moment. At least you try. I mean, I don't know. I haven't seen the full film yet, so I've only seen bits and pieces, and I love what they did with the trailer, but you hope you can put your best foot forward and that you don't suck.
Yeah, you know, I was interested actually in terms of you researching the role and to be able to get you know, to get some kind of material, source material to kind of get into the role as well. Did you talk to anybody, or did you interview anybody, you know, before to kind of get any kind of measure into your character?
You know, I didn't, because I think about stuff like this all the time. You know, I'm Jewish. I think about getting diseases 24/7, and you know, cancer is something that's so common and has affected so many people in my life, and so many loved ones, and it affects so many people in this world. So I know the thought process I have with something like that, and I kind of just carry that with me. You know, in one of the scenes, I believe, where I'm getting some radiation treatment, and I was really in a hospital with machines, and they took me through the motions and just showed me what everything did, and they had real medical attendants, and I remember we were filming a scene, and they said, oh, you know, and I'm going into this machine, and they said, oh God, you know, Sean, really, your face looks so real in this. And I said, well, it was real, because I think about this stuff all the time, and I couldn't just, it's not something that I really didn't have to channel, like, oh, how would I feel? I could feel what it would be like, and the seriousness of that situation. So that's just kind of what I just kind of was in the moment about it. You know, when you put on like a hospital gown or, you know, you're in these hospitals and you're filming and you can feel it. There's always kind of a sadness to a hospital and something that makes you feel hesitant. And so I just tried to check, you know, with my surroundings and the people that I were working with. And but I'm also the kind of person, too, that I could be in a crying scene as soon as they yell cut. I'll crack a joke, you know, and I could shut it off pretty fast. So I don't know if that's normal or not, but it's hard. I don't want people to feel sad or down. I like to keep people happy.
Yeah, you know, it seems like the cast, I don't want to say they're inexperienced, but this is obviously a cast that, you know, is kind of a part of this big major, I think it's going to be a major movie. You know, tell me a little bit about working with the actors on the set and, you know, kind of this young, fresh cast that you had in front of you and, you know, working with some of the people. Because there's some scenes where you really, like I said, you really worked with, some of the main characters all the way straight through. So tell me a little bit about that.
Well, everybody was so wonderful to work with. You know, we were kind of like a family on this set. I really enjoyed working with everybody, you know, from the people who wrote it and produced it, and then down to, you know, it didn't matter. From the bottom up, the whole crew, everybody, was just a giant family. As far as actors and actresses, you know, there were some new faces I had never met or worked with before, obviously. And then there were some people like Chris Williams, who is, well, he's a talented working actor, and he's been everything from Dodgeball and to the new Showtime show with Dice, and he plays Dice's manager. I mean, the guy's all over the place, and it's incredible. And we've been friends for a long time, so to get to be in a scene with him and to work with someone I know and love, that was a great experience. And then to get to work with someone like Tim Reed, who I used to watch on TV as a child and admire, and just get to spend, you know, hours just talking about comedy and acting and just the business and politics and the world and world hunger. I mean, we talked about so many things. It really was it was a great experience. And, you know, everyone got along and I think everyone had, it was kind of, you know, and then it's an emotional roller coaster. Because sometimes you're in these moments that are sad and you feel it. And then there's these moments of, you know, revelation. So especially when you're working hard at night and you're going hours and you're standing around and you keep doing the same scene over and over. And all this stuff takes time for them to get shots and angles. So I was just fortunate to get to be, you know, part of this. This is an independent film. And, you know, right now they're starting to get heat on it. And I don't know where exactly it will end up. I know that it premieres April, I think, 15th or 16th, I think, or that weekend at the Boston Film Festival. And that's where it starts. But, you know, this movie will appeal to the triathletes of the world. And there's 4 million of them, apparently, in the world. Who knew? I only thought there was 4 altogether. 4 triathletes total. But apparently there are millions. So I think that there is going to be a place for this because I've never seen a film about any type of triathlon or, you know, you see maybe about marathons, you know, there's Chariots of Fire, but it was a very smart idea.
The timing is, I think, perfect because we're getting to that portion of the fact that, you know, we have these ultra marathons, we have these obstacle course type. Running races, you know, these kind of extreme kind of running races as well. So it is kind of somewhat timely, you know. And I know of a couple people that do triathlons. And, yeah, I mean, it's very timely, I think. I think the story itself, just by looking at the trailer, is just absolutely, it's absolutely inspiring. It talks a lot about...
Thank you, Mark.
It talks about transformation and the ability to push yourself and have a goal and all that as well, and that's kind of an inspiring situation. So I actually would look forward to watching it as well. I really hope that it, you know, I had recommended it to some friends of mine over at the Artemis to bring it over to there because I think it would do an absolute great job there. So it would be interesting to see if it over there, because I'm going to be down there in L.A. for the Artemis. I think it's the weekend after the Boston preview.
Well, that would be great. Well, I'll let them know that. You know, I mean, they have a plan. You know, you just when you're a small fish in the pond and you're just an actor, you don't really get the say so of where you think they'll place this. You show up, you do the work, and you know, and you let the big dogs take care of the producing and the directing and where it goes. The director was he was great, and Jay was wonderful, and the director of photography, Jendra, she was great too, and my friend Monica Belay, who wrote it, you know, I wouldn't be in this film if it wasn't for her believing in my comedy and who I am for this whole time. So it's just really been a great experience, and they'll be home for it. You know, it's true. It is inspirational in this time of day where I think America is a little bit screwed, especially with where we are going in politics. You know, people need something to inspire and be. And there's just so much wrong going on today in this world, and something to kind of check out and inspire people. I think that's a great idea for a film.
Yeah. You know, I mean, I've got two movies that are up for Artemis. I'm still waiting for them to give me an official okay that they will, one or both will be in the festival. So I will let you know, because like I said, I'll be in L.A. So if I end up doing, I'd absolutely love you to come out and watch either one of them.
Of course.
If you get a chance that weekend. So I will let you know.
You bet. I might bring my buddy Courtney Cronin. How about that?
Yeah. Yeah, I think Courtney's still here in Vegas for a little bit. I think she's still shooting the show. I helped her out with that a little bit. I mean, I obviously talked to her. I talked to her a couple weeks ago about it, and I have a couple friends around that are going to be taking part of it. It's kind of a small world, though, too, because I know a couple of people that she knew, and, you know, so it's pretty interesting, to say the least. I told Courtney, of course, she's invited to come over and watch the movie as well if it ends up coming. So,
she's the best. She's a true talent, Courtney Cronin. True talent.
Oh, yeah, she is. Yeah, we caught up, and, you know, it's great to be able to see her as a writer. I'd love to see her, you know, write a movie at some point. You know, she says she's so talented in terms of her writing, too. So, I mean, it's great to be able to see she's doing so great behind the scenes as a writer. And she says she does stand-up once in a while.
And she's funny as hell on stage, too. I mean, that's the best. Like, I've traveled with Courtney, and I'm always in awe of her writing skills. I mean, her jokes are solid, but she has this demeanor that's so, like, self-deprecating, but yet she's so strong on stage, and it's inspiring.
Yeah, then I'm having Susan on next week, because she has a movie coming out. She was going to be on this week, but she said the publicist wanted to do it a little bit more towards, I guess, her movies for debuting at the end of the month. So, but she was actually happy. She was like, "Oh, you're gonna have Sean on." And I said, "Yeah, I'm gonna have Sean on." So Susan was pretty excited about that.
That's great. That's great for Susan too. Well, look at everybody's got a movie. Hey, you know.
Yeah. Pretty much. Let's talk a little bit. I mean, I also saw that you had a new web series out there that you put out. So it seems like once or twice a week. Tell us a little bit about that.
I'm super glad about this. My my co-host and creator with me is Jill Michelle Melian from Mad TV Days, and she's the one who did the Britney Spears, and she is hilarious and great, and we did this show called Stop It, and it's just short rants about certain topics that we're just getting tired of seeing, or certain things. It could be everyday stuff, or all types. Covers any type of topic, and we take on a certain topic for that week, and we rant about it, and we just tell people to stop it, and you can go to stopitshow.com and watch full videos. Today we released one about American Idol. And because I'm a big reality TV fanatic, so we wrote one up about, since it's the final season, and they're just funny rants, funny girl rants, and we let people have it, and we have a good time. And our friend Judy Sketch Lewinson is our producer, and we just have fun putting these together, and we've really gotten a lot of great response from it. And, you know, this business is about keep creating, so you got to keep putting stuff, you know, on the internet, and you got to keep doing and keep trying to sell yourself, and that's all it is. But it's just, it's a lot of fun. This web series was just to have fun and keep creating.
Well, this is Idol's last year, I believe.
Thank God. It jumped the shark. It's done. It's over.
Yeah. I think it jumped the shark. It kind of jumped the shark right around the Carrie Underwood season, maybe the one after it, and then, it started going downhill from there. So, and then, obviously The Voice kind of basically pushed it out of the way. What that's worth.
The judges saying.
Yeah.
You like The Voice better?
I like The Voice better. I still have my little problems with some of these people because I research them a little bit, and then I find out that they produced an actual album, and it was like, okay, well, they're not necessarily amateurs, they're professionals. So I was like, and some of these were backup singers for other singers, and it's like, they already have the connections. Why don't they just, get off their butts and use their connections to be able to do it? But, I haven't watched The Voice in a while.
Yeah, I've watched them all, my husband and I, because we decided we're official singing and dance judges. So with all the reality TV shows and the competitions we watch, talent competition shows, so... The Voice has jumped the shark too. It was good the first maybe two, three seasons, and I think now they're on like season 10, and I'm over it. I'm getting really tired, and no one's really become famous off The Voice, if you've noticed. And I heard Adam Levine talk about it on Howard Stern, and it's just the Voice, it's like they keep them down. And it's really weird. Well, at least American Idol, you hear of that person again. I mean, half of them didn't. But some of them broke through, like the Kelly Clarksons and Carrie Underwoods and the Chris Daughtrys and the Jennifer Hudsons and Adam Lamberts. I mean, they truly, got to make it through. But The Voice, no one does. So I don't know why people are just always dying to win it, because nothing happens.
Yeah, because you go in, you get a crappy contract, and then nothing seems to have happened. And the same thing with Idol, you had a crappy contract, and there's that old drama with Kelly, and basically Kelly wanting to get out of her contract. Yeah.
And Phil Phillips.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's really fighting it. They're all fighting it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm glad Kelly got out of it, because the story with Kelly was the fact that they wouldn't let her produce her own songs. And then when she got out of the contract, she started doing her own songs. And what do you know, they were like number ones off the wazoo that she was writing. So they were basically wrong about her. So, it's just, it's crazy, to say the least.
Yeah.
My girl, Paige Van Zandt's on Dancing with the Stars this time around, though. I'm kind of pulling for her.
I know that. Isn't that great?
Yeah, I've known Paige for quite a while. Following mixed martial arts, and we've crossed paths several times. I've been able to interview her a couple times early on in her career. I mean, it's great to be able to see her. I think she's got an edge. I don't think people have realized that she does have a little bit of an edge coming in, because she does have dance experience. So I think she's going to be a dark horse coming in, So it'll be interesting to see how she does as well. I mean, quite a few football players in that mix as well. So I'm interested to see how everything kind of goes in that direction. I don't usually watch Dancing with the Stars, but I may watch it for Paige's sake. So fingers crossed for her.
I don't watch. You know what? I didn't really get invested in Dancing with the Stars. I'm more invested in So You Think You Could Dance, because I feel like the dancing on there is pretty incredible, and it's not people trying. They are real official dancers. So I get kind of swept in that, because in my next life, I want to come back as a dancer. And so I watch that show religiously. Though this year, So You Think You Could Dance is with 8 to 14 or 8 to 13-year-olds. So I think that they're going to jump the shark. this year as well, unfortunately, because I don't really care to see dance moms. You know, I don't care.
Yeah.
That's not interesting to me. Little tiny kids dancing.
Yeah, I mean, the only really, to tell you the truth, the reality competition show I like to watch really is America's Got Talent, and it's really kind of hard for that to jump the shark, just because there's so many different acts that, you know, it's hard to get bored. You know, hearing you know, and anything, so you're seeing the same thing. If you're seeing the seeing the dancers, you're seeing the same thing. And then this one, I mean, you're seeing that plus people doing stunts, people doing this and that. It's a little bit cray-cray, as it were.
Well, and
it's
all geared for Vegas. You know what I mean? What's going to be the next best Vegas show? So that there's a goal at that the end. You know, what happens with at some of the end of these shows, there is no goal. They don't win, like, a show anywhere. You know, I remember the first year of So You Think You Can Dance, if you won it, you got a coveted spot in Celine Dion's show in Vegas. You were one of the dancers with Mia, you know, choreographed by Mia Michaels. And there's nothing like that for these dancers anymore. So, I don't know. I mean, the motivation is you win it, you get some money, but at least with, you know, with the other show, you get something.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you get a full-fledged tour, you get a residency show, you know, somewhere, you know. I kind of wish that, like, you know, my idea, I mean, if I had ever had the money, just to open up a theater in Branson and just, you know, rotate people that have won reality shows through it. And I think it would do a really good job.
Well, what are you saying that out loud for? Go do it.
I don't have the money, or
else I
would.
You gave that idea to all these people. Come on, Mark. Get to it.
But yeah, I mean, it's great to be able to see that. If there was one reality show competition, I would do is America's Got Talent, and that would be it. I don't think I would do I kind of sneaky suspicion would like to do The Voice, but I don't think I have a good enough voice for the Voice. So.
Yeah, that's really scary.
Anyway.
I think the most nervous I ever get is watching people walk onto The Voice and in that dark on stage with their chairs turned around the other way, I would just crumble. I would be laying in my own pool of piss if I had to make people turn around like that with my voice, you know? That's my biggest fear, one of them. It's like dying in a plane crash, but that's a whole different thing. I would say that, you know, standing and just selling yourself in the dark like that, right before they have to sing that first note, forget it. I'm hysterical for those people. I'm still judging them, but I'm hysterical for them.
Exactly. And I mean, because it's a non-traditional thing, you know. There's no preconceptions when they get out on stage. Although I think that, you know, sometimes producers do, you know, have a preconception going in and, you know, putting certain people up there, you know, but, you know, I don't know. We'll kind of see how everything kind of pans out. But, yeah, it is kind of weird that, you know, we haven't seen anybody kind of break out on that in terms of it as well. Same thing kind of could be said about America's Got Talent, because America's Got Talent, there's been quite a few singers that have gone, you know, won the finale, but haven't done well. And it always seems like the people that have come in like fifth, fourth, and third, roughly, or maybe second, did well enough that they became superstars. And my theory is the fact that, you know, when they get to that point, you know that, you know, certain members of these people are going to be successful no matter what. And then the one that you vote for is the one that you don't, you know, you think that needs going to need help in that instance. So that's kind of what happens, my theory. I never pick the one that I think is the best. I always pick the one that says, they're pretty good, but they're probably going to need help coming through. So I think that's how America kind of thinks. So, I mean, it's great. I mean, I've talked to quite a few people from America's Got Talent on the show. And a couple of them just, you know, didn't win because when they made the top 10, they didn't want to sign the contract that, you know, you're going to do so many shows and all that as well. But you know, they felt that they could make more money on their own versus having the contract under their production company. So a lot of people just didn't win just because of that. So very interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I want to mention that. I mean, I said, I think the last time we talked, it was before you got married. So how's married life going for you so far the past couple of years?
Well, it's good. It happened. No one's more surprised than me. So it's been wonderful. It's changed my life completely, and it's given me a good 25 new minutes. Supportive, and you never hear the term marriage is so easy. You know, you're never going to hear that from anybody. Everything is work, but I think, you know, after you've been through 1,000 people, you know when the right one is sitting in front of you. So God bless that I found my partner in life, and we really just enjoy each other, and he supports me, you know, especially in this business called show. So, you know, we learn a lot together, and it's opened a, you know, whole new chapter of my life.
Yeah, it's been interesting. I was listening to the Fighter and Kid podcast today, and they were talking about the idea that you have to have a partner that understands the fact that you are in a show business atmosphere. Sometimes it means that you're going to be away for a little bit. It's never a 9-to-5 job at all. It's a situation where you could be out doing shows for 2 straight weeks and then coming back as well. I mean, obviously your husband knows, you know, the situation he was getting into, but it was great to be able to have support of somebody supportive to be able to know that as well. I mean,
right.
I mean, I don't know how much touring are you doing? Are you doing a lot more touring now? Or are you kind of laying back a little bit?
I'm trying to lay back a little bit, but I have been super busy. I've been busy locally in California and Los Angeles. I've been super busy. So I am still traveling a lot. It seems like I tried to lay low on it, and it's just really picked up again. And, you know, between that and, you know, working on a couple of projects here, it's just I'd rather be here locally. So it is hard. It can get trying when you're gone all the time. And I just got back last night at midnight. And I barely made it back. So it's a miracle that we're talking today. But it was, you know, it's hard to keep traveling and doing and, you know, I'll be in places around the world and the next day just be back at home. So it's exciting, but, you know, it can be a little exhausting.
It'll be interesting to see if things start to pick up after this movie officially gets released. I mean, you know, obviously, you know, it's like I said, it's a big, huge, dramatic role. And I want to see the whole performance like you do. I know some actors that don't want to see their performances, but I really want to see this performance and to be able to watch it and to be able to see how I know you're gonna hit it out of the park. Just by the trailer, it looks like you hit it out of the park. So,
Mark, that's so nice of you. Well, who knows? Well, maybe you'll see it before me. I don't know if I can watch this.
Did we lose her? You there, Sean? She'll call back in. I'm going to try to see if I can find the – I know it's Try Movie on Facebook. I believe it's 13 Movie on Twitter. So let me double check on that while we're waiting for Sean to call us back in. There we go.
Sorry.
Yeah. So I'm interested to see how everything kind of goes after this as well. I believe that Twitter for the movie is at 13 Movie. Actually, it's not Try Movie at all. And then also on Facebook on Try Movie, you guys can take a look at that as well. And I highly recommend you guys watch the trailer as well. So what's coming? Anything you can report about what's coming up with you?
Yeah, well, I am I'm working on a book and just trying to get that sold, and that's the next level of that published. And then I'm putting together a comedy special, and I'm probably going to try and shoot that in July or August and sell it to Netflix or wherever, whoever will take it.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great time for comedy, too. I mean, it seems like, you know, Netflix and Comedy Central are now competing, you know, for content. So I'm interested to see where that lands, too. But yeah, we'll have to see where that goes. So you know where you're shooting it?
We are looking at the Broad Stage Theater in Santa Monica. It's actually the same place where I believe Whitney Cummings filmed her newest special. So it's beautiful theater.
Well, good to know. Yeah, you have to let me know when that is.
I totally
will.
I know. It'll be a good time.
Yeah, it'll be great to be able to see that as well. I mean, I would be remiss not to ask you if you saw any good movies lately.
I did. I saw Deadpool. I loved it. That was right up my alley because I am, you know, I'm all comic books, I'm all sci-fi, I'm all fantasy. And then last night on my flight from hell, I watched The 33, and I thought that was actually, talk about inspiring. You know, my try has nothing on, you know, 33 men caught in a coal mine below for 69 days in Chile. You know, that's the story of inspiration right there. So that was nice. It's a little emotional. It's a tearjerker, but it's good.
I heard a story about you know, they asked, is there, you know, they always got food and water, and they asked, is there anything else you want? And they said, can you send down some Foo Fighters music? Correctly.
Yeah, you have to see the movie. They get sent all this stuff. They get sent a lot of stuff down there. I mean, to live for, because they're caught down there for about 20 days, and they realize how long it's going to take to get them out of there. Which I don't know.
Yeah.
I remember it when it happened, and I didn't remember it being 69 days. In my head, they were stuck down there a total maybe 20 days. And I guess I just kind of blocked out how long they were truly down there.
Yeah. As for Deadpool, I need to watch it again because I'm pretty sure I've missed a lot in terms of they packed a lot into certain scenes. You know, first time around, obviously you get the jokes that are right up front, but there are so many, especially that opening sequence.
I thought that sequence was so well done.
Yeah, it was so well done. They made really fun of itself. They made fun of Ryan Reynolds a lot, which I think, you know, was really great. I thought the marketing coming up to Deadpool, I think, was absolutely brilliant. All the stuff that Ryan Reynolds was willing to do as Deadpool, they did stuff for Thanksgiving. They did some stuff from Christmas, Valentine's Day. The marketing was absolutely genius.
Yeah, I agree.
That. And I mean, it was funny all the way straight through. You know, absolutely love it. And like I said, it made fun of itself in other movies. It was really great to be able to see that. So yeah, I got to watch it again at some point. I think it's already out of the theaters, and it already surpassed its record run. I think highest paid R-rated movie of all time. So I'm interested to see that. I'm pretty sure the DVDs are going to go pretty quick. I know I'm getting one.
Yeah, it pays to be in a comic book movie, you know? It just really does. And he had to make up for Green Lantern because that sucked. But this was great.
He even made fun of that in the movie, which was great. If there was a superhero movie you'd want to be a part of, what would it be?
X-Men. Definitely X-Men.
Any
Wonder
certain
Woman.
Certain X-Men
I mean,
you'd
want to
be, though?
I haven't seen a Wonder Woman yet. That what? What did you say?
I said, was there any certain X-Men you would want to be?
Well, anything that was next to Wolverine or Michael Fassbender, God, and his giant package. I just love the whole idea of X-Men. Is just interesting, you know, that you could almost believe that there were people who would be born with different genetics. Like, it's the most, I think, believable out of actually all superhero movies, because it just people could alter genetics and people could be born with different superpowers or whatnot, I think. But that's the one I think I love the most. I loved X-Men First Class a lot. I really thought that was one of the best superhero movies. I also like Iron Man and the Avengers. I like those are really, really well done. And I was old Superman, and I like the Batmans with Michael Keaton and Christian Bale. I do not like the Batmans now. I don't like this Nolan. I don't like this this director. Noah, what is his name? I can't. I just don't do. I love Henry Cavill.
Yeah, Nolan. Nolan. And he did.
It's not Christopher Nolan. It's Noah something. They're very, very dark, and I just too dark. I mean, I like the darkness of how, you know, all the darkness that Batman took when with Tim Burton and then Christian Bale played Batman. And with the Heath Ledger, I liked that, and it was so well done. But this last Batman we had with Henry Cavill, the way it was shot was just—it was too dark, and I wasn't really invested, and I didn't care if I didn't see it again. And being a huge Henry Cavill fan, I was kind of disappointed, and I'm even more disappointed that Ben Affleck is Batman. I don't care, you know. That rubbed me weird too.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, I'm a fan of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I've been watching that. The new season just started.
As
well, I love that they dig into the continuity of that. You know, I have Netflix, so I watch, you know, Daredevil. I absolutely adore Jessica Jones. That was so.
Why could I not get into Jessica Jones? I watched two of them, and I checked out. But I love Daredevil.
Jessica's really, I think, really, really dark. It's a really dark series all the way straight through.
And I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that, but I just didn't know where I kind of was like, okay. And you had to stick with Daredevil for a while, too. But it was great. And the guy who plays the evil guy in Daredevil, how good was he?
Vincent D'Onofrio, I thought that was his best role ever, you know, and I mean, he's been in much scary roles.
That guy is good. He's like a fat Lex Luthor.
Yeah. What was great about the character itself was they gave it so much depth. As Kingpin, I mean, he had so much complexities to him in terms of why he became who he was. Why he ended up falling in love? Why he learned? You know, he had this.
Yeah, as a kid,
loved a certain painting.
Oh my god!
It was like, I like that better than I'm trying to remember the name of that series he was in. The Law and Order. Law and Order, Major Crimes. I didn't really like his character in that, but I really loved him in Daredevil. That was absolutely believable.
That's to be coming back soon, I think. Doesn't that come back soon?
Yeah, it's either late this month or early next, I think.
Oh, I'm in. Can't wait. I think it is late this month. Oh, I can't wait.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah, Punisher is coming in, and they're going to have Elektra coming in. And they're getting ready for that spin-off series with Luke Cage, and then Iron Fist is supposed to be coming out too. So, pretty interesting. Interesting to say the least. And I think when I left you, I had mentioned how big I thought Pitch Perfect was going to be, and it became so much bigger. It's kind of funny that it's insisted that the fact that you know, I was talking to my brother, and my brother works oil rigs, and he kind of admitted to his crew that, oh, I kind of like, you know, I like Pitch Perfect. I'm going to go see the sequel. And the couple of the guys said, yeah, we kind of like it too. So it's not just a girl thing, you know, it's a guy thing too. So I feel a little less guilty about watching it. So.
You don't feel dumb because it's, yeah, like we talked about, it's the Bring It On of music. You know, Bring It On still, to me, is the best movie of all time. No one will ever touch how great that movie is. I could watch it over, over, and over, and I have. And I just love the idea of a competition, and a cheerleading competition, even better. We all knew who those cheerleaders were. We've all at some point turned the channel and seen an ESPN cheerleading competition. So I love that idea, and Pitch Perfect was smart to pick up on that and do a movie about it.
And interesting note that Paige Van Zandt was a high school cheerleader, as well as a fighter. So
really,
she has that going through. Yeah, so she is also a cheerleader. Yeah,
that would be so cool. God, talk about two different worlds.
Yeah,
MMA fighter and
there's quite a few female fighters that have been cheerleaders. And really, to tell you the truth, you're more prone to have, you know, worse injuries in cheerleading than you are in mixed martial arts, because if you're getting tossed in the air like 15, 20 feet, you know, and you land wrong or you take an elbow to your head,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's broken bones there everywhere. So
right,
yeah,
right. Yeah, I mean, it's just I love MMA fighting. I went to a couple UFC fights in Vegas, but I have to say, what a smart, and Dana White, that guy, boy, is he laughing last, huh? He figured it out just how to take everything to a level and create a whole different sports. So that's super impressive, and I think it's exciting. You know, my grandfather used to be into the WWF. My grandfather passed away at a WWF at tournament. So he just loved it. So as a kid, he used to take me with him, and that's how I fell in love with any type of fighting, except the verbal kind. I don't really like to do that, but I do like the physicality and the athlete you have to be to especially be a good MMA fighter.
Yeah, this past weekend I covered the Invicta event over at the Tropicana. I know a lot of those gals very personally, and it was great to be able to see some of the fights. Pretty much all the fights were absolutely tremendous, to say the least. I believe that they're coming back to California coming up in May. I don't know if it'll be Costa Mesa. I don't know if it'll be up in LA or whatever. But if it ends up being that area, I'll let you know. Because that's something that you have to watch. I think you'd have a lot of fun. And I know quite a few. I know quite a few fighters that are out there as well. But if you, when I come out there in April, I'm hopefully going to have a couple of fighters coming out to the, hopefully what will be my world premiere of my film. So maybe you'll be able to catch up with a couple of them as well. So we'll have to figure something out there. You'll get to meet a couple of the fighters that I know through the sport
that's
as well.
That's so great. Well, congratulations on your film. I think that's so exciting, and I can't wait to see it.
Yeah, I mean, one's a fiction film, the other one's a documentary. Both are really, really good. I'm crossing my fingers that Artemis says, gives me a firm yes. I've been, advocates for them for quite a while now. So I hope that both films get in. I won't be surprised if I get one film at least. But, definitely. I know Fight Valley, I believe, is premiering that Friday of the festival. And that's, I think, when we'll probably be doing the big red carpet deal.
That's so neat.
And the Fight Valley has like Misha Tate and Chrissy Cyborg and Holly Holm, and so.
Oh God, yeah, boy, Holly, man, I tell you, that was like that fight was just a jaw dropper. Like literally, when everybody watched that, I think it was just everybody was just so surprised. And it was crazy because I had to go on stage that night, and we were watching the fight from the back of the Comedy Store bar. And, I got to watch the beginning of the fight, so I missed the true action because I was on stage telling jokes. But I got to watch it after, but yeah, that was incredible. Incredible. These women are so tough. And the men are crazy tough. The women, tough.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, which fight was that? Was that when Holly beat Ronda?
Ronda, yeah.
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 Because, I mean, she just lost, I mean, Holly just lost to Misha, which
did she?
Was another male biter.
Gosh. Oh, no. Wow, this boy,
yeah.
It changes fast, doesn't it? Suddenly, you know, you're on top of the world, and then it's like, but you know, who knows? And
yeah.
A certain time, you're not the top. It's crazy. That's so stressful.
Yeah, I mean, the thing about MMA is that nothing is absolutely for certain. Anybody can get beaten on any night. You know, so yeah, it'll be interesting if I end up doing red carpet or you know, if Misha's around or someone like that. I mean, it's great to meet Misha. Misha's a really down to earth person. So is Holly. You know, so it's interesting. It's interesting.
Can you
to
put
say
them on the
but,
same carpet together then? You may want to
choose
one or the other.
Yeah, they're
friends.
Right? I mean, here's the funny thing. When they were doing press, I mean, the week of the fight, obviously Connor and Nate were just getting at each other's throats. And then they asked Misha and Holly about it. And I think it was Misha that said something about while these two guys are flipping each other off under the table, we're making friendship bracelets. There was never any animosity between those two. You know, it was business basically. So
yeah,
I sound
right.
You know, even if they're on the same red carpet, it's not going to be a big deal. If it was Rhonda and Misha,
that.
Now that there will be a big deal there. So
yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
that.
You know, it'll be interesting to see, say the least, what goes on. I mean, right now it looks like Rhonda is got and I beat her twice. I'm ready to go back mode on Misha. So I think she wants to get it back on in 200. So we'll have to see how that goes. But definitely. So you've got hopefully a comedy special coming up. I know Courtney's up here doing some stuff as well. Anything for you? Are you doing any more stand up in the next couple months?
Oh yeah. I'm always working at the World Famous Comedy Store and just working kind of locally for the next couple of months. Before I probably travel around the world again. I've traveled a lot lately in the past 2 months. So just locally, you know, you can always catch me at the World Famous Comedy Store every week. I'm there this weekend, Friday and Saturday, and they're all great shows. So anyone who comes in and says my name at the door and says they're a guest of mine, they should comp them and take care of them.
Well, that's absolutely cool, you know. So, yeah, if I could catch a set, I will during that weekend, obviously. But
well, you let me know. Like I said, you're VIP, Mark. VIP, baby.
Yeah, and I definitely I'll try to, you know, like I said, fingers crossed that I get one or two of my films in, and if so, well, you're definitely invited to go and watch that as well.
Please let me know. I would love to sit and support you. You've always been such a support of mine. And I'm eternally grateful. It's all been a process, and, you know, we're all creating and doing, and I think that's great. So anything I can do to go support you, I know whatever you put together is wonderful.
Yep. So, and I want to mention at Sean Pulaski on Twitter, Sean Pulaski on Facebook, you know, definitely check out your web series, Stop It.
StopItShow.com, and you can look at my website, which is HaHaChick, HaHaChick.com.
So, yeah, make sure you guys check that out as well. You can check out any other dates you ask, but if you're in the LA area, please go and check out Sean. Like I said, absolutely wonderful to have you back.
Thank
on the show.
Thank you, Mark.
We'll talk to you.
We'll
talk in April when I'm down there.
Yeah, congratulations on all your success, sir.
Okay, you too. I really look forward to watching Try when it comes out.
Thank you, Mark. You're the best.
You too. Talk to you soon.
All right. Take care.
Yep.
Bye.
Yep. Bye. That was Sean Pulaski, everybody. You guys can check her out at Sean Pulaski on Twitter, Sean Pulaski on Facebook, and at HaHaChick.com. So it's great to be able, like I said, to be able to talk to her after so long a time as well. Anyway, so coming up next week, Susie Wang should be on. She'll be talking about her new movie. It's coming up. I believe it's called A Weekend with the Family. We're going to have her on this week, but the publicist wanted us to do it a little bit more towards when the movie was going to open. So I think it's going to be next week. We'll be talking to Susan. I haven't heard back from her to double-check on that, so hopefully she'll be emailing me soon to double-check on that. Please check us out, on Twitter, at SWIV, at SWIV, and Somewhere in Vegas on Facebook as well. We'll be taking care of some of the stuff as it comes by. So we'll be next week, 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern, with Susan Wang, comedian, actress, show host, and one of the stars of A Weekend with the Family that opens up, I think, the last week of March. With that in mind, we'll talk to you guys next week.